Hi, welcome back to Havila's podcast. I'm your host, Havila. And today we're tackling the art of adult friendship. This is a topic you guys want to talk about. And to be honest, I really like having this conversation because friendship is really where, well, we get our connection, we get our belonging, we get our sense of value from those that we have around us. And so we're tackling these topics. In fact, last week we talked about the five myths of friendship and what's sabotaging our social life. And today we're going to talk about the five truths you need in your friendships, well, in your brain, to actually create really healthy friendships. So let's tackle these top five, and you can kind of mentally do a little checklist to see if you're going, yep, I know that, or wow, I didn't think about that, and kind of circle that in your brain to go, I need to focus on that for the friendships that I'm holding. So the first truth you really want to hold on to and grab a hold of is that quality time creates quality friendship. So if you were to kind of deconstruct that, that means without quality time, you don't get quality friendships. In order to have a great friendship, a healthy friendship, a thriving friendship, it's going to take time. It's going to take you nurturing. It's almost like a garden. You know, when I would say one of the lies I used to believe about friendship, like if it's a really good friendship, then I won't have to do anything. It'll come automatically. I mean, we just get each other. I can be blunt. I can be honest, and they take it. They never get their feelings hurt. They are low needs. And so that's what makes a good friend. And can I just say that after decades of working on friendships and having great ones and having ones that have blown up and I've been the culprit of some of those, is that that is not true, because that makes me the center of the friendship. If my main objective of a friendship is I want to be able to be myself, say what I want to, not give a lot of time or effort to it, then that makes me the hero of the friendship. But really, friendship is about giving and serving and loving and taking, and all of that in between has to be equal. And so Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for the time of adversity. That means, yeah, friends, right? Casual friends, acquaintance friends, work friends, church friends. Yeah, they're going to love you, right? They're going to love you. They're going to accept you. But it says a brother. That means an intimate relationship, a sister or a brother in your life matures when you are in the darkest place in your life, when you're in the trenches of trials or sickness or pain, and they come to your rescue. They come to be with you, to sit with you, to pray with you. And so it's really important to know that if you haven't had any lows in a friendship, you don't know how deep it is. You don't know what kind of quality it is. But if you are in a place where you have to pull a weed out of a friendship, or you've got to say, I'm not going to grow that over here in this friendship, that means you're tending to it. You're making sure that it's thriving and growing and becoming what you want it to be. So again, great friends, well, they require a great amount of quality time. So don't be discouraged if it's taking a minute to build good friendships. It's kind of just the way it works. The second truth that you need to tell yourself is that it's never too late to connect. It's never too late to connect. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. What it means is that we are created to be in pairs. We're created to be two by two. In fact, that's how, if you think about the ark, God put the animals two by two. He put a man and a woman in a marriage as two. And really, it's part of how God's order and system works, is that we are made for friendship. We're made for connection and made for relationship. And I love what the scripture says, because it says, listen, you got to understand that if you fall and no one's there to help you, then you're trying to do life on your own. If you feel like this is messing up and no one's there for me, then my challenge to you is you may not have a great friend or a good friendship base. And it's time to give some time to that, to nurture that. And if you're not helping anybody else up who's falling, then my question would be, is your friendship so focused on you that you're not actually turning around and helping the friend that needs you most? And so again, it's never too late to connect. And honestly, sometimes I think I've written off seasons. I've written off people because we didn't have that friendship chemistry right away, or, you know, we've just known each other forever. And then I have to really go back and go, you know what? No, like, it's not too late to connect. It's not too late to go deeper in the friendship. It's not too late to say, I would really like to have more friendship with you. Let's jump into this. So again, that kind of idealistic part of our brains that says it's too late. that ship has sailed. That friendship has sailed. No, that's not true. All it takes is you being honest and vulnerable and being honest with yourself that this is what you need. And then also honest with somebody else to say, I really need you in my life. And I'd like to get you in my life a little more. The third truth that we have to tell ourselves, or you have to tell yourself, is that vulnerability breeds closeness. And it's so opposite of what our brain says. Because we say, when I tell you my worst, you're going to want to run from me. When I show you something I'm not proud of, you're going to want to, you know, run from me as if I'm dangerous or, you know, I'm toxic or I'm abusive or whatever it might be. And yet that's not true. In fact, when you are honest and vulnerable with somebody, they just have found it's beautiful that when you are vulnerable, the person next to you is able to be vulnerable as well. Your vulnerability gives permission in a relationship. And I love what 1 John 4:18 says. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So what that means is that if you are afraid, you either serve one or the other. You're either going to be in real love or you're going to be in fear. And sometimes in order to get real love, you have to actually walk through fear to reach out and get that love. And so it's really important that you open yourself up. Like all of us can say, I'm open. You know, people can get to know me. But my question is, are you actually unlocking that treasure chest that's inside of you, your dreams, your visions, maybe what you hope for, maybe even the dark parts? You know, maybe in your friendship, you guys, you feel like you're close, but you've never shared your struggles in your marriage. You've never shared maybe an insecurity that you have or maybe something in your childhood that is really important that they know in order to love you well. And so again, you wait for the right timing, but it's very important to understand if you want to feel close to others, if you want to feel included, if you want to feel like people know you, you have to make yourself known. It's just how it works. So if you don't, I guarantee it's connected to you having walls up that are keeping you from being open and vulnerable with others. And that takes time. You don't have to rush it, but you have to understand that you cannot get closeness without being vulnerable and open. The fourth truth I want you to think about, and this is important, and if you're watching this right now or listening to this right now, you can say it out loud with me, but this is the truth. I am worthy of friendship. I am worthy of friendship. Psalms 139:14 says, I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Sometimes it's hard to feel valuable in a friendship. And it's hard to even believe that you're worthy of a friend like that. And what it comes down to is, it's not if the person picks you to be a friend or includes you, it has to do with your worthiness. Do I feel like I'm worthy of having a friendship? Do I believe that I bring value to the earth, that I bring value to this relationship? And so many times I've almost sabotaged really great friendships because I think, they don't really know who I am. And if they did, they wouldn't be friends with me. And so I tend to even subconsciously sabotage the friendship to find a way where I can leave them before they choose to leave me. And I've had to be really honest about that in my own heart, that I'm worthy of this friendship. I may have done terrible things over here and I may have messed this up and I may have started out bad, but you know what? Today, I'm worthy of friendship and I'm going to figure this out. Like, I think you need a holy determination to say, like we just learned about, if two are better than one, then I better figure out how to be in twos. And if I don't know how to do that, then I know what my work is. I know where I need to go and what I need to do to build that. So it's very important to recognize that you have worth, that you are priceless, that your life, your story, who you are, somebody getting your time, don't think, well, I'm a single woman and they have kids and a job. And no, your time is no less valuable than the woman that has two jobs and eight kids. Everyone's time is valuable. You might say, well, I'm not going to be that kind of friend that they need. And you don't know what kind of friend they need. And I wouldn't find reasons why you're not a great friend. I would talk about the reasons you are. So instead of saying, well, I'm not married like they are, what if you said, I can be flexible like they can't be. And that means I'm a great friend because I can actually orbit around their chaos rather than both chaotic chaoses like bouncing off of each other. So I think it's really important to know your value and to stay with that and not allow anyone to touch that. And then lastly, your fifth truth is that all friendship requires work. Now, I know our first one, we talked about quality time creates quality friendship. But again, the idea that all friendship, you got to work at. And so if you feel a little exhausted from friendship, yeah, sometimes you're going to feel that way. If you feel a little burned out, yeah, sometimes you're going to feel that way. If you feel like the friendship has run its course and you might go, I feel like I'm kind of done with this, I would challenge you to maybe not shut it down, but rather take some time, rest, get a breather before you burn bridges. Maybe you just need a good night's sleep. Maybe you need to actually ask yourself, what needs do I have that I can get met? And am I giving those all to this friend or these friends rather than me getting those needs met? And so it requires work. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So iron sharpening iron, that means as I get better and I say, hey, can you work on that? Or, hey, I don't know if I like that. Or, hey, I really like that. What's happening in friendship is that the friction of the friendship actually causes us to be better. We actually get better at communicating. We get better at loving them well, serving others. We get better at having a healthy ecosystem of friendships around us. And so I think that's really important. In fact, one of the things, and this is kind of a bonus tip, but is that the Bible says, if he who wants friends must show himself friendly. I see so many people come up to me and they're like, I need friends, or I see that you have friends, and you know, how come everybody wants to be your friend, or whatever they might say. And I want to say to them, that has not always been the story in my life. But one thing I learned from my mom, and she was really good at this, is she found that if you want friends, you have to be friendly. And growing up in our home, there was not a week that went by that somebody would stop me as her kid and say, your mom makes me feel like I'm the only one in the room when she's talking to me. And they would say, your mom, she's amazing. And they would rave about her. And here my dad was on stages and prophesying and preaching. And my mom was at home with us girls. And, you know, she wasn't this flashy person, but she had this value for others that when they got into the presence of her, they knew they would be taken care of. They would be nurtured. They'd be celebrated. And so my mom had these really great tools. Like one of the tools she had was to look at people in the eye. Like if you want friends, I know being shy can be complicated. And if you're a thinker, I tend to be ADHD, so I'm thinking about other things. But to look someone in the eye, to actually greet their eyes and hold their view, their gaze for a minute, to let them know, I see you. I actually see you. Another thing my mom would do is she smiled a lot. In fact, we used to mock my mom. We'd be driving down the street doing errands, and I would look over and she's smiling. And I would say, Mom, why are you smiling? Like my little teenage bratty attitude, why are you smiling? And she said, because people don't want to see someone frowning all the time. You know, I want people to know I'm approachable, that I want to meet them. I want them to know that I'm not closed off. I'd never seen it like that before, but she was not wrong. Her expression, her face of joy, her face of peace, her eye contact, her ability to, when somebody came up to talk to her, she wouldn't go to them, but she would actually shut them out and keep talking to the person she was having a conversation with, were such good people skills. But what it did was, it wasn't just, oh, those are great skills. It actually sent the message that she wants to be their friend and she has time for them and that they have value. And she always said that to me, Havilah, people don't have people in their life that feel like they're valued. They don't feel like anybody wants to hear them talk or finish the conversation. She goes, if I can just get them to understand that they are valuable and listen to their stories and laugh at the things that are funny, I'm telling you, that is how people feel safe and they feel loved and they feel connected. So I would say for you, if you're having a hard time with friendship, I would ask myself, what is my countenance? Do I look joyful or do I look angry? Do I look shut down or do I look open? Do I look like I'm irritated when someone talks to me? Do I look distracted, like I don't have any time for them? Or do I lock eyes? Do I calm down a little bit and center in and have that conversation? Take a breath. I know for me, sometimes I have to mentally tell myself when I'm sitting with a friend, do not grab your phone, do not interrupt, do not get up and do something, sit, let them share. And don't break the gaze, right? Stay right there with them, because if you'll be with them for that moment, they'll open up their heart to you. And that's where quality friendship happens. So again, real friendships require work. If there is no work in the friendship, it makes me wonder if there's maybe someone's not getting all their needs met and they're getting prized at being low needs, but really not getting their needs met. And then lastly, here's your takeaway truth, is that friendships are not optional. I know we talked about this a little in the beginning. But a real friendship, you guys, is as critical as the air for your body. It's like air for your mental and emotional health. You need friends. You need people around you. You don't need tons of people. You need a few people that see you, love you, and can hear you and can be connected. And you can be known and they can be known. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. What does that mean? Well, embrace the effort. The best things in life require work. And remember, you've got what it takes to be that second or third cord, right, in a relationship. And so let me just review these really quick five steps one last time. Here's five truths you need to tell yourself about adult friendships. Number one, quality time creates quality friendships. If you lack quality friendships, it's because you're not giving it quality time, or you're fast forwarding, you're checking out, or you're demanding too much in the beginning and people are freaking out. It's too much. You've got to take it at the right pace. Secondly, it's never too late to connect. If you don't have friendships in this season of your life, it's time to stop making it out there sometime when it gets better, but actually say, no, it's not too late to connect. I don't have deep relationships in my church. I want to connect. I need to go deeper. I don't have friendships with my family or my extended family. I need to go deeper in that and give yourself time to connect. Thirdly is vulnerability breeds closeness. Vulnerability says, me too. You too? Yeah, me too. It allows us to go, wow, you're human, I'm human too. It gives us that permission to be flawed and yet loved. And so if you want to feel more known, you want to feel closer to somebody, I promise you, it's going to require you being more vulnerable by sharing things that will cost you, but in the end will allow them to share things as well, which creates unity and bonding. Number four is that you are worthy of friendship. You are. You don't have to be winning on every level. In fact, if you've not had good friendships, and sometimes there are seasons we just don't have great friendships, I want you to know that doesn't speak to your worthiness of a great friendship. And even if you've blown it in the past or you haven't found your people yet, you're still worthy of that. And so don't give up. Don't check out. Don't say, I'm just not one of those people. I'm just set to do life alone. No, you're worthy of friendship. And I promise you, there's somebody in your life that wants friendship as bad as you do. And they are going to be part of your crew. It's going to work that way. And then lastly, all friendships require work. If you're working on a friendship, it doesn't mean it's bad. It doesn't mean it's toxic. Doesn't mean that it's destructive. Sometimes it means you're going to the next level. Sometimes it means that it's growing, and it's growing with you, with your mindset, with your lifestyle, with your choices, and that is okay. And lastly, friendships are not optional. So if you say, I don't need adult friends, or I only have some guy friends, I want to challenge you that it's not going to be work in your favor if you do not have those that are like you, that can look at you in the eyes and say, this is what it is to be a woman. This is what it is to be at this age. Like, there's something about looking at the female soul, as I'm looking at a female soul, and they're reflecting reality to me. They're reflecting humanity to me. And it's really important. So again, I know some of you, your friendships were distorted because your mom wasn't good at friendships, or the female friendships were not healthy in high school or junior high or whatever. You can actually rewrite the ending. You can literally turn the chapter. Instead of rereading that bad chapter over and over and saying, I'm not going to go on in the book because this chapter was bad. The only way you can actually get to the next place is you have to move forward. You have to close that chapter and open a new chapter and be brave enough to say, I don't know how to do this. I might be 50, I might be 60, I might be 70, but I need this in my life and I'm going to figure this out. And I promise you, as you grow in adult friendships, you will find that there's a lot of permission to be yourself. There's a lot of amazing people out there. And more importantly, people need to know you because you're amazing. All right, you guys, that's it for today's podcast. For those of you that are wondering, is there more on this topic? Yes. The next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about your top ask questions about friendship. And then also we're going to have a little conversation with my core group around friendship and adulting and all the things. So thanks for tuning in. I love you guys, and I'll catch you next time.